So you're right then, Seager?
Yep, that's it. First half term done.
I know. How does it feel? Should we explain where we are?
Yeah, go on then.
So we're
training day.
Training day, inset day, having our lunch. Just been doing some little bits in the classroom while we've been having our lunch.
Done the appraisal setting,
yep.
Which is part of today's plan. And then we've got some wellbeing activities this afternoon.
Yeah, I've signed you up for yoga and kickboxing.
I think it's bread making and board games.
Board games.
Yeah, so we're doing that, which is a nice touch, a bit different. We'll see what that goes like this afternoon.
Pat seems to think he's a little bit of a bread demon, so might have a bit of competition going on there.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
You ever made bread?
No. I eat it, but I don't make it. Bit of a Warburton's man, me. It's got to be the orange pack.
So this podcast is brought to you specially by Warburton's. Yeah.
Sponsored by... Maybe we should.
No, shut up.
No.
Right, so yeah, was it 7 week term?
8 week.
Eight week half term.
So I think the longest it could possibly be, straight in, no rest, hard work, relentless. But I spoke to you yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah.
So it was the last day with the kids yesterday, Thursday, and rang Mal on the way home just with a bit of a buzz of how well they were.
Yeah.
And I was a bit worried last day of half term that it could be a bit bubbly, but I'll tell you what, they were on it. I went through exactly what, this is year 11 by the way, the super group, which we talked about on a previous recording, exactly what, and I this is how I worded it to them actually, because I woke up in the middle of the night, and when I get something in my head, I can't go back to sleep. It's a horrible feeling. And it was, what have I done with previous year? And it's always difficult starting a new school because there's obviously you've got to get used to the routines. And I've been in the routine for several years from the previous place. And what I've done at each point as like a bit of a checklist to make sure. And then I woke up thinking, have I done everything?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to go through exactly what I wanted them to do over the half-term revision, over the half-term session in terms of their revision.
Mm.
And that was... what I desperately wanted to get through to them, and they listened perfectly.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple of people come straight after saying, can we get the revision guides, what the login
details, take my books.
Etc. Yeah, take the books. So they were brilliant, and I was and I rang Mal on the way home to explain how pleased I was with the group. So it was a lovely finish to the half term, considering the ups and downs along the way of kids getting to know me and being new to the school and me just...
And also where the school's come from, because I think we forget, I think the head teacher this morning really summed it up. We've come a long way.
Absolutely.
And I think having been in special measures, it's you forget how bad it was. You only remember the good times, but it has been at times really, really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
From January, since I've been here, I've noticed, that, especially September, it was almost like it's a fresh start. We get to set the ground rules. And I think we've hit the ground running, especially with year 10 into 11, year 11.
Yes.
But I think our year 10 into 11 transition evening in the summer helped.
That was really nice, and that was nice for me to get my face in front of them when I didn't even work in the environment, and it was, in the environment doesn't sound right, in the school.
that was
nice, and then putting faces into September, knowing that I'd already spoke to parents or been part of that evening, that was very good. Very well received as well, wasn't it? I know, I think we've mentioned this one before in terms of these recordings, but
it's certainly something I think we should do again, because I think we're now at the stage where we've got to be looking at, especially for last year as a maths department coming in and supporting, what did we do that worked well, what didn't work so well, let's just get rid of that.
What makes an impact?
Sometimes
it's difficult to know, isn't it, when you do so many different things, which is the one that you actually say, that definitely did help with the impact or help make a change worthwhile. But we're at the point where we want to trial things and give them a go and bring experiences from previous places and what works. And it's been absolutely manic, hasn't it?
It's been mental, and it's only now, but it's been nice being able to tick things off the box,
off the to-do list.
And I think what's working really well is because we share the same classroom, we share the same teaching groups, is having that book, that we have a planning book on the desk, just an exercise book that
leaves notes for each other.
And we have an ongoing to-do list, and being able to say, right, we've done that, and it's almost like a joint responsibility. And getting there, looking at the classroom today with the displays, the kids got, each of them got their folders sorted, we've done a round of assessment, we've done a round of feedback. which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah. It is nice, and sometimes you don't see it until you look back on it. And we've had that chance today, just looking in the room of... It's a drama studio that's been converted into a room for maths that houses 56 on one half of the year, 56 students. And looking at it now with the displays up there, and we're going to get some carpet in the room
carpet
as well.
Next week. That's if it happens.
I hope so, touch wood.
Yeah, because it is a bit echoey in it there. And
Well, it's not designed as a maths room, is it? As a teaching room. It's more of an open space.
Do you think we should use spotlights to have the spotlights on us?
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But I think carpet will massively help. And make it feel more
like a classroom.
Yeah. But also help with that echoing, like you just said. But watch this space.
And it's generated quite a lot of interest, though, hasn't it? We're getting emails and people asking to come and see it.
Yeah, well, I think until this point now, and that buzz that I got yesterday of actually, you know what, these are really buying into it.
Yeah.
And it has taken that time for... I'm not saying there was ever a point when I don't think they did. It was just, actually, it's a reflection point at the end of a half term, and they've bought into it. So we're going to
hosting.
We are hosting a few visitors next half term already, aren't we? We're booked in for the.
So email Christian at justmaths.co.uk. we're happy for people to come and see it. What I would say is that if you're expecting active learning, loads of jazz hands teaching, you probably want to go elsewhere. We're talking about good old fashioned teaching that's. Just about making sure the kids, you know what the kids want to need to learn before they come in. They learn it, you check they learn it, lots of questioning. And it's not just about delivering lessons that are very surface learning, I suppose, where there's no depth to it. These kids are they're engaged because, and I often talk about getting them on that upward cycle about confidence gives them, success gives them confidence, gives them success, and they end up on this upward cycle. And I remember... Yeah. When we were talking about what topics we're going to do first, and it was like, right, we're going to do this and this because we need to get the kids getting that feeling of success, and that's the word you used to me.
We did. It's thought out, isn't it? It's not just thrown together,
and then you can throw in the odd challenging topic, and then and because they're feeling this success, their confidence, see, some of them are their confidence, they're blossoming.
They are, and it was brilliant yesterday.
Yeah.
In fact, I haven't.
I don't think you mentioned it. You had a good day yesterday.
Good day. And I forgot to tell you this one. A certain member of the group, and she's really blossomed over the last few weeks. You know what I'm talking about now. And I got to the point of compound interest. We wrote the question down, ready to come back to when we hit the ground running in the first week in November after half term. But she stayed and sat there and did the question.
Mm.
And I walked off to go and help another student to get a revision guide, came back, and she left me a note saying, "Sir, I got the right answer."
Oh, brilliant.
It was brilliant. And she bought into it, wants to do it.
Yeah.
And I think just before that, we were talking actually about the winning the lottery and what kind of interest and you'd earn off that win recently, the Euro Millions, and just that kind of conversation and actually buying into what interest is all about, rather than it just being a GCSE question. We were putting it in a real life context and having a conversation. The kids,
we did something similar the day before because we were talking about why simple interest doesn't work, and we did the example about, well, if I put £1 million in there and I withdraw it, the bank's not going to continue paying me my interest because there's no money in there. They really engage with real life maths, which is good.
£1 million? Is that your salary, is it, Mrs. Mordale? That's brilliant. I need to go and speak to the head teacher, I think. No, but I think you're just making it real like that and talking about the scenario.
But we couldn't have delivered that topic 7 weeks ago without having built up to it.
Building the relationships with the kids to be able to go off and talk about that. It was nice.
But it has been hard work. A lot of parental engagement. The phone calls home to parents. Not just the ones where, the positive ones, that's really nice, but also the ones where they're not up to our expectations.
Yeah.
And I use the phrase about, and it makes me smile a bit, I will not apologise for having high standards for behaviour. And most parents will go, good.
Absolutely.
We get that right, and we try to engage with them early on. It helps.
We're going to talk about, we planned it, didn't we? We're going to mention...
Yeah, we've been planning on doing this for weeks, though, haven't we?
We have, and it just ran away from us. The time, I don't know where the time's gone. You look back and we've wanted to pencil in every single week for these, but it hasn't quite happened.
People keep coming in, didn't they, on the Friday afternoon?
Well, it's nice because it's always like, how's it gone? How's the week? And it's been brilliant. And then you go, actually, no time to do the podcast now.
Yeah, I need to run off. I need to go and get my dog, or I need to go and pick up the kids.
And we've made time for this now over lunchtime. And we've planned for a while to talk about the feedback loop that we've brought in. And I suppose making it the whole department policy, but all of us buying into it together, and I mean more the students than anyone. So the feedback loop that we'll talk about, but then also, I was trying to remember if we mentioned it, but the foundation paper challenge that we'll briefly mention as well. But the feedback loop, so we've got the actual display for it on every wall, not on every wall, in every classroom on a wall. So it's clear for all the students and all the teachers.
What I'll do is I'll take a photo before I leave and I'll add it to the blog post.
That'd
for
be
this
brilliant.
So people can see it at the bottom.
See what we're talking about. So it's clear, and anyone that comes into the classroom, whether it's external visitors or any internal visitors just within the school, it's clear the path that we follow. And I know a couple of our visitors that are coming after half term, not just to see the supergroup, but also to see that. And the evidence as well, which is clear in every student's book. So it starts off with an assessment. And obviously assessments are different per school, but also different depending on the year group you're talking about. But we're a high school, start at year nine, so we've got more focus on the GCSE end than the key stage.
Not necessarily a three-year GCSE, we just have a three-year scheme of work.
Yes.
That builds on both key stage three and key stage four learning objectives. So I think that's important.
So every student then does an assessment, and we try and build that within a half term, or, it's not always possible when you have the shorter ones.
Every 10 weeks.
Week half term before. I think we have, haven't we?
Yeah.
So it doesn't. You can't stick to half terms, but within a certain amount of weeks.
Eight, 10 weeks. It usually fits in with the school data collection cycle, because we operate within the system. So
absolutely. So they do an assessment, and again, that's going to be different per year group and per key stage, but. For example, our year 10s have just completed an assessment cycle, and we're currently marking the papers as we speak. And they did two out of the three GCSE papers, didn't they? So we didn't want to take up so many lessons, but we wanted to get a good flavour on their calculator ability and their non-calculator ability.
Yeah, because this is almost just getting a baseline.
Yeah.
Talking about assessments, one of the things I quite like and that was picked up is having the posters in each classroom about your next assessment is...
And we've got that, we're staring at one right now in this classroom, which says... year nine, your next assessment date, and it's just
laminated, so we can then change them. It's just about clarity, because then the last thing you want is those kids coming in going, "Oh, I didn't know I had a test."
But it's all clear for everyone, isn't it? So they do the test, we mark it, give it back, but then
so we can't get away with not marking tests. We've got to do that.
But I think if out of every kind of marking, I'm going to be blunt to you, completely blunt. It's the one I actually really think gives them the best feedback. That they got right or wrong straight away, and it's the one I enjoy the most.
Maths is different. It is very different.
Yeah. And it's the one I do whenever I'm doing it, whether it's sitting on the floor with the telly on in the background or sat at my desk. I like marking tests, but the kids then get that back with what we call a rag sheet, red and the green sheet that they colour in themselves, so not one that we've produced behind the scenes. And coloured in for them or produced on a colour printer.
I have worked, and last year we did because of the situation.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Water there.
I know. I have in the past had to key in data for each paper, and I get it because I really do get it. But if I'm honest, and people say you use it to form your teaching, do you? They talk about it, they use it to form their next steps of their teaching. I think we're year 11 possibly. But lower down the school, I think the kids get so much more out of it.
I think you have to persevere with it as well, because the first time you do it and the kids, adding up their scores wrong or putting the wrong colour in the wrong box, but they genuinely buy into comparing what they got against their mate next to them.
Why have you marked that? Because you didn't do any working out, which was one of the questions this week.
Yes. So they spend a bit of time doing that, and literally we don't spend time colouring in. It's just literally a little dash of red, amber or green next to each question.
It's very visual to them. Yeah. Lots of them say, can I take a photograph so I know
what's... They have this week, haven't they? And that was year 10 as well, saying, can I take a photograph so I've got clear evidence of what I need to practice at home. That was brilliant conversations this week. And year 11 have said the same going into half term, so I know what to revise. Can I take a photo of that or take my book home? That was brilliant. So that then... along with that, they give us some feedback, don't they? They what we call a smart feedback sheet. And it's just literally a comment from them on what went well and what didn't go so well. But with the what didn't go so well, we want them, we try and design them some ideas in terms of sentence starters. Not everything, but sentence starters. What is it you're going to do to sort out those areas? And it's
not just revise more.
Oh, yeah, they're not allowed to say revise more. And if they are saying revise, how are they going to revise? Give us some ideas then, give us some flavours. But when we then go back and put our comment next to that, we read their comment and actually put a couple of notes and actually, yeah, I agree with that. But if they have tried to get away with revise... That's when we put the question back to them. Go on then, tell me how you're going to revise and give us some ideas.
This isn't about triple marking. This isn't about all that kind of stuff.
No, this is about a conversation with the kids, and it's quite nice. Oh, Mel's just going to have a little cough.
Just carry on talking.
I'm going to carry on rambling on, and you won't hear a cough in the background at all. So the smart feedback is the conversation between us. And then we like to give them what we call the oops question. And that's something that we've given them their feedback, we've managed to have a glance at their red, amber, green sheet, which was stuck in their book as well. And by the way, we love putting all of these on bright coloured paper as well, so they stand out within their book. And to be completely honest, that is the majority of the sticking in the book. I'm not a big fan of spending loads of time sticking sheets. And we've got folders for that, haven't we? So if we ever do external work outside of their books, we put that in their folders.
Get the folders every 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, clear out all the loose sheets out of their book.
So and do the shake test.
The shake test,
there's all, do you know, there's always two kids in every class that have gone, yeah, I've put that in my folder. And I go, so if I do the shake test, there'll be no paper. And you watch the colour drain out, and then the paper's all over the floor.
Falls out their book.
Yeah.
But predominantly, we're not wasting a load of lesson times when you add it up over a year. Getting glue sticks out, sticking stuff in. So we keep that down to a minimum. The folders are great, but also on the front bit of a side here. But in their folders is their examinations and their... loose pieces of paper, if you like, but also on the front of their folder is their tracking, their grade that they've got on each assessment throughout year 9, year 10, 11, or even year 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, it was lovely having been through with a year group where you do get that 5 years.
5 years, beautiful plan, isn't it? And you can show progress or just.
I know progress. Learning isn't linear. It isn't that difficult, but.
These go up and down, these graphs, don't they? But in general, it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's about. Because we do have to have a feel, because at the end of the day, we operate in a system of accountability. We can't get away from that. We're not big enough. Our circle of influence isn't big enough to go, okay, let's get rid of league tables. It's not going to happen.
No.
So we do
operate. The kids like that, I think. They like to be able to see that they've made progress, even if there's a couple of dips in between. And that's when you have the great conversations one-on-one with those students, even if it's just as you're passing them over the shoulder and you see, actually, you have taken a dip there, haven't you? But don't worry about that. Let's pull that back up. And that's when you can really big them up and say, look, that's your blip there. Let's move on. But anyway, I took a detour off there from the oops question. So when we've
these are the face palm moments. These are the ones that they could have addressed. So it's about the difference between making a mistake and a misconception.
We try and choose the first few questions on the paper where they should have got them right. Yeah. We set them a challenge, don't we?
Yeah.
We want the first double page of whether it's higher or foundation paper. They're going to be aced. And we want them to have that buzz moment, the eureka moments from those questions.
Because there is nothing worse when they go, oh, of course it's 325 centimetres, not 3,000.
Yeah, or my electricity bill can't be 3,500. Yeah. It should have been 350 or whatever it is. But those questions are on nice bright yellow paper with, on the left-hand side, the question they got wrong with the written solution on it.
So worked model example.
Yeah, this is how it should be.
Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side of the A4 sheet is...
have a go.
Have a go question, another version of the same kind of question, a shadow question, if you like. And that gives them the chance, that's the following lesson, if we've managed to turn it around in time, after their red, amber, green. So we try and tidy it all up quite concise within a couple of lessons.
There's a bit, there's a chain of thought, or train of thought, not chain, train of thought, about the teachers marking and whether or not the return is worth the investments and that, to use a phrase. I actually quite like it. And again, it's about context. So some of these students seem to interpret that we care about them because we're giving them that feedback. And I remember when I joined in January, one of the kids said, were you going to mark books then, miss? And it was expected and that's what they wanted. And I know some students, some schools have a policy about no bookmarking.
Mm.
So I think it is all about context, but ours seem to like it. I like it. And I remember as a kid, the idea of a teacher taking the time out to talk to me wasn't that I didn't think I was important enough, but I was just like, I don't want you to make an issue of me. I don't want you to draw attention to me. If you've got something to say, write it down. I'm much happier with that. Because then I can communicate back to you all. I just want to know that I'm doing all right, but I don't want you to tell anybody I'm doing all right. Because it's that kind of school. It wasn't cool to be successful or bright or high attaining.
It is just about having a little brief conversation with the student via their book.
Yeah.
And just knowing that we're looking at their work.
Yeah.
And we do. We constantly do, don't we?
Yeah.
We just like having a... And it's, I think you just
do a lot of live marking, a lot of not necessarily live marking, but live. So when you're having to reteach, but they've asked you for clarification, different colour pen in their book, and explain it again with a different number.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of that.
It is, and
writing upside down is something you have to perfect as a teacher, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And upside down, backwards, isn't it?
N's not though. If you noticed, N is the same upside down as it is. Once you notice it, it's brilliant.
Well, you've just been putting U in everything.
No, all my N's are capital N's. all lowercase, and then there's a capital
okay,
N.
There you go. You've got me now.
Because otherwise you always have to think about it. We've gone off on a tangent.
We have. So we have the mini oops that filters in throughout the feedback policy. So a feedback loop. Sorry, not policy. So we've done our assessment, we've given them their feedback, they've done their red, amber, green, we've given them an oops question, and then later within the cycle, so when...
Which is why we don't have to assess every 6 weeks, because
formally assessed. It takes so many lessons out as well, doesn't it? We don't want to keep taking lessons out. We call it a mini oops, and that is just a little A5 yellow sheet of paper, again Bryce, so it stands out in their book, with a question on that was from 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Can you remember how to do this?
Yeah.
We do a couple of different versions, so they're not sat next to someone with the same question. And again, with some feedback from us. And that's generally how it's gone since their last assessment or since the last point that we've given them that feedback.
We might not. Sometimes it might have no written comment. It depends, isn't it, really? For me, I find that has started to instill some study skills in certain groups because they go, I can't remember how to do that. Well, look back in your book. And it's not something that's instinctive to them. They wouldn't have done instinctively 4 or 5 weeks ago, but now we get to the point where they're going, okay, so this is let me check my book.
This is how to revise, isn't it? This is how you go back. And
it's all that spaced retrieval, interleaving, and it's just...
And it does, I think, again, the first time you do it, it humbles you a little bit or reminds you that things don't stick every time. As much as you think at the time the lessons went fantastically, when you go back and give them a question that's almost identical stuff you were doing in lessons.
Might even be the same question.
Yeah, and it gives you that opportunity in that discussion with the students about, hold on, this is how you revise, we've got to go back over it. You stop doing something, you stop driving a car, you're going to have to remember how to do it. So it's just a matter of instilling that, I suppose, that independence, that learning.
What's interesting for me is because I've been doing a bit of research lately around literacy and command words and blah, blah, blah. Is that when we look at the stuff that we've done over the last God knows how many years, lots of it has now become quite popular and got proper words and interleaving and all the other stuff that people have done a load of research on, and I'm going, but lots of this stuff we've been doing for years.
It just happens, it's just natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think
and have come out of,
exactly
a lot of people will be the same, so I get all the research, I really do. I'm trying to be a bit more research-based, but I think a lot of the research we've done has been very much, let's try it, that was rubbish, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Or that was good, let's do more of that.
Yeah, this can be tweaked.
Yeah.
And that it's, kind of active doing it, trialing it, seeing if it works, let's face it, putting 50 odd kids in one room was a trial, wasn't it? It was just to see if it worked.
Yeah.
And then actually, it did work.
Yeah.
Which was quite nice. So that's the feedback loop, isn't it? And
yeah.
Again, you're going to attach a photo to show what it looks like in terms of a visual that we've got in every classroom, and again, that all the kids and students know it, and external visitors.
It's going to be a bit contentious now. We try to stick it, and when you're doing seating plans, you always have your empty seats next to your seating, next to your
where
board.
Where any possible visitor pops in could sit down, and there it is right in front of them, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about making it obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing I quite like talking about books and stuff is I remember once somebody came into the classroom and they said these books are a bit scruffy, and because they, when you open a book to flick, you flick from the back of the book forwards. Mm-hmm. And for years we've always gone, back of your books is for rough work, so starter for 10, back of your books. Of course it's going to be scruffy. So we now make kids write in the books upside down.
In the back.
In the back. So we turn the book so it's like a normal book, but back to front.
And we've got a sticker
that says,
we put on the back that says
this way up.
So it promotes them to turn it upside down when they're working the back of the book.
Yeah, and it just
makes it obvious where the back of the book and the front of the book works. So we're separated.
Yeah, so when people can come in and they can't talk about, or they want to talk about look for presentation or good presentation, they'll look at it and see that the writing's upside down and go, oh, there's something different about this. And then it's obvious this is the rough work.
Yeah.
This isn't the bit we mark. This is where the kids turn to do their starter for 10 or whatever.
And it does work.
Yeah, and that work, and the kids quite find that quite novel, didn't it? Because it's a luggage label saying this way up. So that works quite well.
But the whole presentation, we work a lot on it, don't we? That we want the standards to be brilliant, and I think a lot of us do as teachers. We want the best because if they're putting their effort into it, it does reflect in general, not always. It does reflect the work ethic of the student that's there. So we do work on that, and I think that does help keeping the back completely separate to the front, upside down in the back.
Yeah.
Makes a clear separation between their rough
Something
work.
Minor.
It is, but it's just nice. It does work quite nicely.
Yeah.
And anyone that does come in, or if you see the feedback loop that Mel put on, it all forms part of it, I think, that it's their books that go with their folders, that go with the process and the yellow sheets and all that. And again, email Mal at justmaths.co.uk if anyone's interested in just popping along and having a look. The other thing I was going to say that we can't remember if we mentioned in any of the other recordings.
And we're really not going to go back and listen to ourselves talk.
No, not at all. It was the Foundation Paper Challenge again, just because we've done it as well this year with our 10s and 11s. And it worked. It was by
default. So this has been prompted because somebody said to you about that they've listened to the podcast. And you were quite shocked this morning. You said to me that somebody listened.
Yes, well, I was in Birmingham School on Wednesday and said, oh, we love the podcast. And it's like, oh, someone listens, and two, they like it. So I thought, we've got to get back on it. And I said, did you, we got talking about different strategies. And I said, did I mention the Foundation Paper Challenge? And we couldn't remember if we did or not. So just mention it now. It won't take long. It's purely an opportunity to get students. And it happened probably about 7 years ago now, I think it was. And it was when we said, I think I was free when there was a cover required for another lesson. And I said, oh, I'll take them. But it was a mixed ability. Mm. And I had a load of foundation papers left and said, right, we're going to do a challenge. Let's just see how far we can get without losing a mark. And I ran around like a bit of a
headless chicken,
trying to mark each page. And it was worthwhile because I say, try not to go too far, one page at a time, two pages at a time. And it's just to see where you fall.
Mm.
And like, that's the marker where you can't fall next time. And we did it with our year 11s at the start of this year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that was slightly different abilities in there as well. That was great. And they all had
that. That was our tutor group.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tutor group. And they actually quite competitive to see how far they got, considering it was the
our
first
time. Our year
10s
were amazing at
and
it.
The year 10s, considering that it was just the still getting to know us in terms of the teaching, as well as not being in a tutor group with them, so we don't see them as much as we do the year 11s. They just really rise to the challenge, didn't they? Really wanting to, and I think that we need to. You can't do it too often, else it becomes the norm. You just set it every, I'd say, 4 to 6 weeks. Around that, I think you do it two weeks.
I think it even
when it naturally works. You don't want to just do it for the sake of it. So maybe a Saturday school if you're doing it, or a half-term revision session, or when you've got the tutor group.
Yeah.
And it was actually year 10s is when we was forced to move out of our normal room. So it was a natural kind of
Let's do something different.
And they really rise to it, because they wanted to see how far they can go. But any guys that are doing the higher paper actually highlights up to them what the foundation paper is all about, and realise actually that's quite tough. And it puts them...
getting full marks on it is quite tough.
I think it's almost impossible to get full marks. I know some adults and teachers and maths do the actual challenges to see if they can get through it, and very rarely get to it without making a silly error somewhere. But it's going back a few years. I remember a top set lad saying, he said, "I don't want to do it. I'm not doing a higher paper." I said,
I'm
not doing a foundation paper because I'm doing a higher paper. I said, "It's competition to see how far you can get." And he fell at question 14 on a foundation paper. He then knocked my door at lunchtime to come back and said, "When are we doing that again, sir? I want to see if I can get further." And that was brilliant. Mm.
It's quite interesting because I use, on the Pearson days when we're out, last year a couple of people were talking about there not being enough challenge at the top end of higher tier. And my argument back has always been, until we've got thousands of kids getting 240 out of 240, because maths should be about accuracy as well. It's not just about being able to access part of a topic, it's about being able to access it and get it right, fully right. And so I think the foundation paper challenge does help with those skills, at working out.
Higher end foundation papers are so different, aren't they? The numeracy based and the number facts and all of that stuff that's on the foundation really does give you the opportunity to test some of the knowledge that they should know from going back to primary and middle schools, and sometimes those higher students have completely forgotten about.
Yeah, and sometimes I always think about some of the kids that on the higher tier where they may not have covered some of the basic stuff for a while, they will forget things like product prime factors, for example.
But it works perfectly with our group, because we're heavily focusing on the crossover material within the lessons. And it's only when you look back after the first year of that new GCSE, so at the end of 2017, when we go and the exam's there, and it's gone, no, I didn't teach about all of those nitty-gritty things. And I always use the joke about the height of a man versus the height of a tree. But we'd done the foundation paper challenges all year, quite a few of them on these different opportunities we had, that actually, just those conversations of, you fell on that one, this is how you do it, naturally supported the start of the
But again, that's about revisiting topics that they haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, and fractions is a massive one, isn't it? But don't get me started on fractions. But that's, in essence, and again, email mal@justmaths.co.uk if you want any more information on how we run that, or even seeing it sometime if it works with timetable and stuff like that. But it is great, and I swear by it, I love it, and I think it really does put the two papers... It makes them clear they are different beasts. They are not.
But it is accessible for your higher tier candidates, because they've got to be getting this stuff right.
Absolutely.
If they're not able to nail a foundation, what are we doing putting them on the higher tier anyway?
Just really, really great conversations. I'll tell you what, those sporty PE boys, competitive boys, rise to it more than anyone.
Yeah.
That challenge of not falling so early. And even if they do, you carry on, so you don't stop. You just log it on the front of the paper in your mark book, whatever. That the next time you've got to beat that number on a different paper.
Yeah.
But it just, the competitive edge of the boys really does come out. Yes. And they want to go a bit further. Even if they fell at one part B, they go further the next time and they want to. And it's lovely conversations. And
you can't keep calling them 1B though for the rest of their school life.
No. I'll try not to. But it's nice that they want to go further than they got on that previous one. But so there's the foundation paper challenge that I said we'd also mention. So there we go, feedback loop foundation paper challenge. End of half term.
It has been just mental.
You're off to Devon.
I am.
Do you want to give the address out where you're going, so anyone can drop down and say hello?
No, it's fine. Where are you off to?
Devon. Yeah. No, we're off to Cornwall.
Cornwall, good. Yeah, keep some distance between us.
That's absolutely. Dog friendly. Take the mutt.
Yeah, take Murph.
Yeah, let him have a little run.
Paddle in the sea.
That's it.
Scared of the sea. Petrified.
Murph's Miles' husband. Not really.
He's the dog. It has been it's been hard and long. I'm tired. There's been points when I've just got home and just been exhausted, because you just can't see the wood for the trees.
You can't. And I think it was only at this point now you can start to look back and go, actually, these things are working.
Walking down the corridor, you can see there's a physical difference. But also, I think that within the department, there's a cultural difference.
We just grabbed a coffee as a team, didn't we? And it was really nice. Yeah. How much of a team we are already.
You didn't have to pay for it. That's why it was nice.
It was really good. Yeah, thanks, Mark. It was brilliant. No, that was it. And that's.
I may have mentioned Segan is the tightest person I know.
No, cautious.
Cautious. Okay.
Cautious.
So, has it been working with me again?
I've got to be completely honest here. It doesn't feel like there's a gap at all. What do you think?
I was about to say exactly the same. It's like we've never.
It is.
It's just a little bit
you
weird.
You know when to pipe in. I know when to pipe in. It's just natural. And you go, oh, yeah, that's where it's going.
Yeah. It's a little bit strange because it's just a different setting.
It is. It's the same thing in a different setting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's.
It's just like we've just picked up. It's a little bit like, you know, when you're really good friends when you don't see for a while and then you do, it's you just pick up the conversation from where you finished it 6 months ago.
That's exactly how it is, isn't it? It's just a new building.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I think the way we've split the classes is working because the first thing we mentioned was that we split the classes and so rather than me teaching all algebra and you all number, we aren't just...
Yeah, I think we mentioned that in the first report. We talk to each other, we continue it on, we know where we get left.
The planning book works planning between book. Us.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, me sending the photograph to you is a bit hit and miss about where I've got
and
to.
The time when it comes to, I said, Mal, send me the photo of what I'm doing the next day, not what you've just managed to get
done.
Yeah,
so this again is just one of the kids' exercise books. And every day we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Monday has its own day. We have the six lessons mapped out, left and right side of the page, who's doing what. So on a Wednesday, I write down what I taught, and then I write down for the Thursday what.
Sometimes write down what you've taught already for Thursday.
Yeah, and I keep sending the wrong picture of the wrong dates. But overall, I think that's 2 out of 8 I've got wrong.
Weeks.
Yeah, so I think, what's that? 6 out of 8, 75%.
Yeah, we're all right. We're doing all right.
But I think that's working.
It is.
Being able to pick up. I think from the kids' perspective, they see it as seamless.
It's a lot. I think it is a lot better for the kids and for the teachers that we not having to worry about have you got to the end of that one, where are you going next on it, and then hold on, you're doing fractions that doesn't link into what I'm doing. It is like you said, the topics
I think
carry on.
Our organisation, because we've got a little shared folder on the shared drive where the presentations, so the notebook of the questions
the
that we're using, we're
there,
sharing because we're just using the stuff that we've produced before, so we know the questions.
Yeah.
It's almost that I know what question you're going to use for Pythagoras for your first one, then the second one. And even the answers, 9.53 is the answer to the third one.
That depends if you've rounded the first number to one or two decimal places, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, we do know.
But that's working.
It does work.
The kids have commented on it. We've got some good feedback about maths in general.
It is. It's been good. Kids are great. I've enjoyed it. Highs and lows, up and downs, tiring.
Highlight of the term then, half term.
Highlight of the half term so far. I think it's got to be those year 11s that are now not just going to the lessons and doing well.
Coming to after school.
Coming to after school revision.
Yeah.
And that was a massive buzz.
But as a department, was it last week there was 80 in revision?
We said 80, but I'm sure the one before that, I think we've got to about 95.
Which is phenomenal. If I
for
think
this
back,
early.
Yeah, and if I think back to last year, there would have been a handful of kids here. Because I just started doing some of the SLE work.
There's a real buzz Tuesday after school along that maths department, isn't there, with loads of extra maths going on. So that's my highlight. What about you?
I think it's probably got to be some key...
Me being back. Oh, okay, yeah.
Have you just edited that in? I think it's got to be the reaction of some of the key kids that I know could have been a challenge to us. And having seen them buying into it.
Is this because you knew them last year in year 10?
Yeah, and there's some specific kids for me that... It's about making a difference. There's some kids in there that last year wouldn't have had the confidence to have answered a question. And now I'm watching them, seeing them putting their hands up.
And they're buzzing about sharing their answer this
and
year.
And that's delightful for me because I just think that they obviously feel it's a safe environment, that if they do get it wrong, it doesn't matter. And I think that's key, is that have a go. It's not the end of the world. And there's a couple in there that I know last year would have just died inside with embarrassment at the thought of even being asked. But now to see them doing that next stretching thing, where they want to share their answer because they're adamant they're adamant they're right. And it's again comes back to that success and
sharing
confidence.
Their knowledge that they've actually the eureka moment.
And they also want to
here,
show
yeah.
us, and I can see them looking, going, I want to tell you I've got it, nailed it. And so for me, that was got to be the highs. I think Mr. Story's just coming in. Come and join us, Mike. Just have a quick chat. We're just talking. Come here. Sit down.
Head of department,
Mike Story, just walking in. So I'm putting you on the spot. Sit down so we can hear you.
Mike's a few quid lighter after his coffee purchased for us.
So highs and lows of this half, or let's just highs. What's been your high moment of this half term? What would you say was your highlight?
For example, mine was the key kids that have turned up to after school revision.
80 kids turning up to after school revision without us having to offer any incentive at all.
Yeah.
Definite high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you notice he didn't say you joining the school wasn't his highlight either? Do you know what? I didn't mention that
That's
either.
That's turning out to be a low light and a highlight.
I didn't mention that either.
I did.
Attitude to learning of the kids turning around, especially year 11s, highlight.
Good.
Okay. They're really going at it. Great parental support.
Yeah.
Another highlight.
Yeah.
Okay. Support from the top. Definite highlight. We're getting some good support from them.
Yeah.
Looking forward to good things.
Good. I don't think we should end it on a low.
I don't know.
There's not been any. It's just the tiredness and the.
That's not teaching, though. It's just that we're shattered. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just that we've gone for it and we've all gone for it.
When you put a good performance in, you're always shattered.
Exactly. There you go. That's the best way to finish
there
it.
There we go. On that note.
Have a good afternoon.
Right. See you in a couple of weeks. Not a couple of weeks. Week Monday. Have a good one.
See you later.
Ta-ra.
Say bye, Mike.
Bye.